This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. It's great to be chatting with you guys today, all things Green Bay Packers. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. Dennis Krause coming up at 9:20 to talk with Mitch Nellis, so make sure to stick around for that. And as of right now, we are being joined by the wonderful Maggie Loney, Packs What She Said, Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find her on Blue Sky at Maggie J. Loney. Maggie, wonderful to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. When you asked me to come on, I didn't realize that it was going to be Wednesday, the day of free agency. So I'm very honored that you gave me this most important slot to talk football.
Nobody I'd rather be chatting with. I think you were on our very first week, if I remember correctly. And it's been a hot second since we've had the opportunity to talk to you. I know you've been very busy in the meantime and have got obviously a lot going on in the life as well in all the most positive ways. But like you said, it is a very important week in free agency. And I want to just get your take on everything. So I'm excited to kind of pick your brain on this. So let me just ask you simply, how would you evaluate the Packers offseason through, I guess, you know, 2-3 days so far, including some free, you know, re-signings, Brandon McManus, Isaiah McDuffie, I guess, as well. So how do you feel about it from the Packers perspective?
I think that we kind of have like high expectations after the Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs signings last year, right, as fans. 2019 happened when there was the flurry of activity, and then things kind of settled down and Goot wasn't too active given kind of the constraints at the cap. So then last year when he was active again, everyone was like, oh my goodness, we can expect crazy things to happen at 1265. So the moves, I think, have been, so far they're kind of what I expected. Would I have loved for them to pull off like a blockbuster trade for Myles Garrett? Absolutely. Who wouldn't have loved that? Trey Hendrickson is still there, waiting for that call, I guess, from Goody. But yeah, I mean, I think these moves, the Banks move surprised me simply because I wouldn't have necessarily expected them to do it. But Nate Hobbs was somebody that I enjoyed watching, and I'm curious to see where they're going to utilize him in the secondary, because I thought that he was going to come in and lock up the slot, and now it sounds like he's going to come in and be a boundary guy. So far expected moves to me, but I like them. I think they make sense.
I want to go back to that word expectations for just a moment, because I think it's interesting. I think to some extent, and you may feel differently on this, which I think is why it's a fun conversation, I think it was kind of fair to have high expectations for the Packers this offseason, considering that where they are as a team. Like, they've been a playoff team, and they kind of need to take that next step to being a Super Bowl team. And I know when Goody was talking about urgency, and we've sort of twisted it to some extent of, like, I think it was more of a message to the people that are already there, not necessarily a message to himself, although I would say if you're going to have that sort of talk about urgency, you probably need to lead by example and kind of go out and have that urgency and free agency as well. Also, I think when you look back, you know, what they spent last year, and I get it was a different free agency class, the cap has gone up, and they kind of attacked maybe some non-premium positions in running back and safety last year, but then they go out and get Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. They actually spent less last year than they already have this year. It did feel like there was maybe some opportunities to go out and maybe get some star power. And again, maybe they still do. Maybe they find a way to do that. But do you think it was fair of Packers fans to maybe have those expectations going into the offseason? And if so, is this under expectations for what maybe we should have expected?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you are a team that's on the cusp, especially in the division that we're seeing, you know, the Lions made the playoffs, the Vikings made the playoffs, and everything changes every year, right? But we expect the Packers to be a playoff team. We expected them to make it further than the wild card round last season. If you're talking about getting your team over the hump, you kind of have to match that energy, like you said. And I know that it's not always possible, and it takes two tango situations to get some of the biggest stars.
Yep.
To say,
I think
to go to the cold all the time, right? So if LA is calling, it might be more appealing to go somewhere like that, Green Bay. Yeah, I think that, you know, knowing what the strengths are of this draft class, and as fun as it'll be to have the draft in Green Bay, there was an opportunity, and there still is an opportunity, to add some really explosive power with veterans. So you don't have to rely strongly on the draft, because we've seen in recent years, Goody doesn't always necessarily hit on the impact makers in round one.
I think, Maggie, we're cutting in and out a little bit. I might have Tommy try to give you a call back just to see if we can get a little bit of a better connection there. So we'll re-effort Maggie on the line here. Obviously, again, I think this is something that I kind of go back to is, yes, there was obviously expectation going into this offseason, and I think expectations were high. I think understandably so. And I mentioned it in the last segment, and Maggie just mentioned it as well. It does take two to tango. We can't just say, well, again, a big-time player got this contract, so that's what Goody could have done. Maybe that player had no interest in playing in Green Bay, or you know, there could have been a variety of different reasons why that didn't work out. But if you're going to go out and spend a ton of money, it just felt like there were options out there where they could have maybe made that big splash signing. And again, maybe Banks ends up being that on the offensive line. Maybe Hobbs ends up being that in the defensive backfield. It just feels like this was an opportunity to get that big time star player on your roster in some capacity, or another big time player. And it doesn't feel like they really did that. And I think there is maybe some disappointment that comes along with that. And it's not to say that they have gotten worse by any means, because I do think their offensive line is better with Banks than it was without it. I think their secondary is better with Hobbs than it was without it. And they haven't really lost anything. You know, Josh Myers, TJ Slayton, there's going to be, you know, Eric Stokes, there's going to be some losses here and there. Jair didn't really play anyway. Christian Watson's going to be a big loss from an injury standpoint. You hope to get him back and hopefully performing at somewhere near the same Christian Watson level at some point. But yeah, it's not like you're losing anything. But it is definitely feeling like, you know, you maybe could have made some more significant upgrades and maybe just didn't get to that point. I think we've got Maggie back. Maggie back with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, perfect. All right, this sounds great. Let me ask you this as we go back to kind of Banks and Hobbs here. What are some things that you really like about these two signings and maybe ways that they can impact Green Bay in a very positive way?
Well, I think the Hobbs signing especially gives them a lot more opportunity to move guys around in the secondary. I put it on Blue Sky right when it happened that I anticipated him coming in and locking down the slot because Nixon has said, you know, he wants to be a boundary corner. And we don't know what's going to happen with Jair. They've said, you know, he's not getting traded immediately. Maybe he comes back, but I think the writing is still kind of on the wall there. So the Hobbs piece really makes it so that you don't have to reach for a corner in the draft. And I think they probably still take one or two guys, but the urgency isn't necessarily there, which is nice. He can play Italian on the boundary, and then maybe they'll move him even into the slot in passing downs or obvious third downs. And I think that's where you want him. He's really good in those situations. So I like that versatility a lot for Halfley, knowing that he probably, in most packages, wants to keep his three safeties on the field.
Yeah, I think so, too. I do think there's going to be a lot of different ways that they can utilize that secondary. And with Jeff Halfley, you know he's going to mix and match and depending on the game plan. And there's already some reports out there as well that on early downs, you could see Hobbs and then Nixon on the outside with Bullard in the slot and against maybe some more run-heavy looks. And that would be kind of your base nickel, if you will. And then in your, obviously, you know, pass down nickel, Hobbs would kick inside in the nickel, inside into the slot, I should say. And then, you know, Nixon and my guess would be Valentine at that point would play on the outside to get your, you know, more cover guys out there. So it just gives Jeff Halfley a lot of options, which, of course, we love because we know he's going to utilize them and find ways to make them successful. We're being joined by Maggie Loney, Packs What She Said, Pack A Day Podcast. You can find her on social media at Maggie J. Loney. All right, Maggie, the free agency class is pretty picked over, but is there anyone that's still left out there that you would like to see Green Bay go after, whether it be via free agency or a trade?
Well, I did make a joke this morning on Blue Sky that was not well received, that Za'Darius Smith is still out there.
Uh-oh.
But no, I mean, there's certainly a couple guys left at the edge position, and I'm certainly not advocating for Za'Darius to come back. I think that relationship has since soured, but I think there's intrigue there, and I guess my concern with the edge room going only into the draft is that you really have to hit on a guy. And the last time that the Packers really needed to hit on a guy, he's still developing. You know, he's a good rotational piece, but we don't know what Van Ness is going to turn into. So I would have really liked to see them and hope that they still will consider adding a vet like Dante Fowler maybe at the right price. I know Azeez Ojulari's been a talking point. As a rotational piece, he's still really young, turns 25 in June. So if the contract is right there, I think they need bodies because they're really one injury away from relying on a ton of draft and young players. And they like Brenton Cox, they like Aaron Mosby, they like some of these young guys, but they need more out of their pass rush. And it's a really deep class for edge and defensive end. So I would like to see them take some swings on that front seven.
Yeah, if things don't change, I could see them going very aggressive on the defensive line in the draft, which is fine. It's good. They're going to need it long term as well. But to your point, they really need to hit on some of those players, whether it be a defensive tackle or a defensive end, in order to kind of pay this off. Because we heard specifically from Goody, he wants to be able to get there with four. He said it has to be better. Obviously, DeMarcus Covington, new defensive line coach, is going to be a piece of this as well. But is it fair to think that, you know, whether it's just through DeMarcus Covington getting these guys back on track with the talent that's already there or via the draft, that they can improve this pass rush enough internally and via the draft to make it a really good unit? Or do they still need to do something to find a way, whether it's a Trey Hendrickson in an aggressive move or one of these sort of value free agent signings that they hopefully get right, to really upgrade it in a way that makes it so that this can be a top, you know, feared pass rush group up front?
I think you certainly need an infusion somewhere, and if they hit in the draft, then that's enough to me. But again, that is like rolling the dice, and you don't know if you're going to hit in those positions. And I'm curious your thoughts on this. I go back and forth because I know there's the idea about like the Julius Pepper signing, right, where you get someone in the twilight of their career to come in. How would you feel if they signed like Calais Campbell or somebody that is almost 40, but seems to always bring the juice wherever they go? Like, I don't know if it necessarily has to be an every down player, but I think if you get somebody that can come in rotationally and push the pocket, it could be enough to rejuvenate this front in a way that extra bodies in the draft will be able to come in and kind of support this, what exists already in the structure.
I know we are on the radio and you cannot see the smile on my face from ear to ear. We talked about Calais Campbell in the first segment and I just said, screw it. I don't care if he's 39 or going to be 39 in September. The dude is 6'8", 282. He continues to play unbelievable football at age 38. 616 snaps this past year. Had an 82.3 PFF grade. Was great against the run. Had 5 sacks, yeah. 39 pressures. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's just, not only that, but to your point, Maggie, like, he's this veteran presence that I just think kind of is also what maybe Green Bay needs a little bit more of. I know they have Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary. It's not exactly like a bunch of rookies on that line, but, you know, you go and add a Calais Campbell and, you know, maybe he, you know, gets under, you know, Devontae Wyatt and Carl Brooks and gets after those guys to really dominate on the interior and shows them a couple tricks of the trade. And you can play him on the inside, the outside. At some point, like, you know what, there's going to be a red flag for anyone that you're signing at this point, whether it's been lack of productivity, whether it's that they've had injury issues, whether it's that they're going on 39 years old in September. But to me, with what Calais Campbell still did at age 38 and showed zero signs of slowing down, like, you can probably play him 300, 400 snaps this past year, and I think he could still have a really positive impact for this team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that at this point, it's like you said, the top guys are off the market, unless you're trading for someone like Trey Hendrickson, which, again, fully in support of that happening. But if the Packers don't take that big of a swing, there are some guys out there that are not going to cost you your future or insane amounts of draft capital or a huge hit to your salary cap to bring in and could still probably have a very good impact.
We're being joined by Maggie Loney, Packs What She Said, Packaday Podcast. You can find her on Blue Sky at Maggie J. Loney. As far as free agency goes, anything that has surprised you, shocked you, anything that's really sort of caught your eye, any trends that you've seen through free agency so far, whether it's in Green Bay or elsewhere?
I'm not surprised by like who's been big spenders. I expected Chicago to overhaul their trenches. You know, those decisions have made sense to me. I like the way, unfortunately, that the Vikings are conducting their free agency. I don't like when they do anything positively, and I think that they are. But I think probably the biggest surprise to me, and you might have talked about this when my phone cut out, was the Banks addition in Green Bay so far. And it's not that I didn't think that they would fix the offensive line. It's just I wasn't necessarily sure that they would sign a guard to do it. But we know it's a not great center class in the draft. And we know the Packers are really high on some of their guys in-house. They've always loved Jenkins as a center. They love Jacob Monk. Sean Ryan can do it. I don't see them moving Zach Tom because they're going to have to pay him next season at right tackle, and he'll probably want to get paid there instead of at center. So that was probably one of the biggest surprises for me, not that they were looking at fixing the O-line, because I'm glad that they took the initiative to go out and fix the line. I'm just not necessarily sure I expected them to take a swing at a guard and move Jenkins inside. But I think maybe that's also telling where they want to invest all of this draft capital, and it's certainly not on the offensive line.
If there's one thing that I actually am kind of excited about, I actually think Elgton Jenkins is going to be a fantastic center. I think he can be one of the best centers in football. So I'm actually a little bit excited about that. He's obviously got the veteran savvy. I think he's going to be able to make all those calls up front. And I think sometimes for a player like Jenkins, who's kind of been almost on just cruise control for a huge part of his career, just because he's been so good, like, I think just a little bit of a change up and giving him a little bit more of a challenge and having him maybe do a little bit more, I think maybe that, you know, sort of excites him at this stage of his career as well. So that is one aspect that I'm actually very excited about for Green Bay, is the Elgton Jenkins at center era, and I think he's going to be really, really good at it. Maggie, I cannot thank you enough. Tell all of our listeners where we can find all of your incredible work and anything you got coming out this week.
Yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky at Maggie J. Loney. I'm part of a podcast with Perry Goldstein called Packs What She Said. You can find us on YouTube and on Blue Sky. Our new episode, we had a hiatus. We're coming back actually today, so that'll drop later on tonight. So good timing if you're looking for us there. And then, of course, I'm on Pack A Day with Andrew and Kyle, who are doing great work with the Draft Fellows. Check that out if you love draft content. And then you can find me on Cheesehead TV. I'm part of their draft guide, so make sure you grab a copy of that when it comes out in the next month or so.
Yeah, Cheesehead TV Draft Guide is a must-have for Packers fans as you're getting ready for the draft, and they do a tremendous job. I had the opportunity to be part of that in the past, and everyone works so incredibly hard on it to get you Packers draft content specifically focused on the Green Bay Packers, which is really, really fun. Maggie, we will have to do it again soon. I always love chatting Packers with you. You have a great rest of your day, and enjoy the rest of your free agency, and like I said, we'll talk soon, all right?
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Go follow her at Maggie J. Loney on Blue Sky or wherever you can find her on social media. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back right after this.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.